found out pretty early she didn't like being on the lead.
No, okay. She hated it. So yeah, first time actually that we went down there, she wouldn't walk, just kept collapsing, falling over. So it got to the point where we were away from everybody, and I thought to myself, if she runs away, I'm pretty sure I can catch her. She's only little. So I took her off the lead and we started just walking away from her, and within seconds she got up and started following us, just caught up, running beside us, no issues at all. It was a nice hot day, so I decided to go for a swim. I walk out in the water. and then the splashing at my feet, I look down, Nathan had followed me out.
You're listening to the Cat Explorer podcast. I'm Hasara. Before we jump into today's exciting chat, we would love it if you could take a screenshot on your phone, share it to your Instagram stories, tag us at catexplorer.community and our incredible guest at Nathan_thebeachcat. Can't wait to hear your takeaways from this episode. Join us as we chat to amazing cat explorers and experts, learn from them, listen to their war stories, celebrate their wins, and laugh at the funny moments that have been a part of their journey. Daniel, do you remember what our kitty Lumos was like a few years ago?
Yeah, he was Mr. Cranky Aggressive Pants during the week because we couldn't take him cat exploring every day and he was bored.
Yeah, but that's not the case anymore. We've been following the Cat School Clicker Training Program for a while now.
Lumos isn't the smartest cookie, so we weren't sure if he'd be interested in clicker training. But we were so wrong. Lumos loves his Cat School training sessions. They help keep him entertained, so no more growling at Noxie or biting us.
I'm so proud that Lumos has learnt so many tricks. But what I love is seeing how much he loves it. From the happy tail swish to the meow to just seeing him sprint to his clicker training spot when it's clicker training time. The Cat School program has brought so much joy to Lumos, to his sister Noxie, and to us.
And you can bring that joy to you and your kitty. Use the code CatExplorer at catschool.co to get 10% off your very own clicker training kit and Cat School program. The program is created by Julie, who's a certified animal behaviorist.
So get 10% off your very own Cat School clicker training kit and program by using the code CatExplorer at catschool.co. I remember the first time I came across our guest today. I was casually scrolling through Facebook and came across a video of Nathan swimming at the beach. I immediately grabbed Daniel and squealed, "How cool is this?" And then, oh my goodness, there are other people who take their cats exploring. It's not just me. Nathan and his sister Winnie are beach kitties who I know have inspired a lot of you. And on top of that, their parents are such strong advocates for animal welfare. I'm so excited to hear more about Nathan and Winnie and all their adventures. Welcome to the podcast, Melissa and Ryan.
Hello.
Thank you. Hello.
This is exciting.
Yes, I'm really excited. So we'd love to hear a little bit about Nathan and Winnie. Do you mind telling us a little bit about them and how they came into your life?
Yeah, so they came into our lives, Nathan came into our lives about 2 years ago in 2017. We moved from Melbourne up to Bundaberg for Ryan's work, and it was a bit lonely up there, and I think we came across the idea of wanting to adopt a pet, and we thought a cat would be perfect. So we found Nathan at our local RSPCA up there in Bundaberg, so that's how she came into our life and when the whole adventuring began.
We'd been going to the RSPCA just to look at animals, look at cats for ages before, probably 2 months before we came across Nathan. Her and her siblings and her mum were found in a box on the side of the Bruce Highway, which is one of the major highways up that way. And they were taken in the RSPCA. There was only about, or Nathan was about 5 weeks.
She was really little.
Actually, when we found her. So she was tiny and we couldn't actually take her home at that point. But, we met her there and we bonded with her pretty much straight away. And so we made a decision that we were going to get her. And we had a long five-week wait before she could be
de-sexed. She had to reach 1 kilo, be de-sexed, and then...
So we were getting her weighed regularly.
That must have been a really long 5 weeks.
So bad. Literally all my days off, I was at the shelter just playing with her, just so I can build some sort of relationship with her. So when she came home with us, she was that little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
And she was strutting around like she owned the place when she got back to our life.
That's so awesome. Such a queen. How about Winnie? How did Winnie come into your life?
Winnie was random.
Yeah. Actually, we were back up in Bundaberg. Winnie's also from Bundaberg RSPCA. And we were up in
Bundaberg.
Yeah, we'd just gone up for a trip. This was last year. We've had Winnie for just over a year. And we took Nathan up to go to her favourite beach so she can have a wander and a swim and all that sort of thing. And while we were there, Mel just mentioned, should we just stop at the RSPCA and just show them Nathan and have a look at the animals?
Thought about getting a companion for Nathan for when we're at work, and so she's not alone. She's got someone to stimulate her. So, yeah, we went by the RSPCA, took Nathan down.
Nathan actually chose Winnie. We didn't choose Winnie.
Yeah.
So we went and played with all the little kittens. There were quite a few of them there. And then we ended up going around the outside where they all opened up to the outside, and we took Nathan around. And Nathan and all the other kittens just
did not mesh.
She wasn't interested in any way. There was a bit of hissing and things like that. It wouldn't come anywhere near her. And then Winnie, though, we had Nathan up near the little window, and Winnie came straight over. They touched noses, no hissing, no nothing. They were just comfortable and happy. So, yeah, we like to think that Nathan made that choice.
Oh, that just melts my heart. That's so sweet. I love how, like, she just picked her and they picked each other and they're okay. Like, because when you introduce a new cat to your family, it can be quite scary because you're not sure whether they'll get along. Like, we've got two from the same litter, and half the time they don't get along as it is. So it's pretty awesome that they got along straight away. And I suppose I can't talk about Nathan and Winnie without talking about the fact that they're beach cats who go swimming. And Nathan started swimming first. So how did you teach her to swim?
We didn't teach her. She made that decision that she was going to come in. Basically, I'd never had a cat before. I'd never owned a cat before. I grew up with dogs. And so I was used to having my dog at the beach, and when I was surfing and things like that, my dog would come with me. And so I just told Mel pretty early on, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, so I'm just going to treat it like a dog. So pretty early on, we took Nathan down, probably about 12 weeks old. We took Nathan down to the beach at Elliott Heads just because it was nice and quiet and lots of sand, just to take her for a walk and
try to get her harness trained and lead trained.
Just so we could take her out and about and she could experience a little bit.
We found out pretty early she didn't like being on the lead.
No, she hated it. So, first time actually that we went down there, she wouldn't walk, just kept collapsing, falling over. So it got to the point where we were away from everybody and I thought to myself, if she runs away, I'm pretty sure I can catch her. She's only little. So I took her off the lead and we started just walking away from her, and within seconds she got up and started following us, just caught up, running beside us, no issues at all. It was a nice hot day, so I decided to go for a swim. I walk out in the water and then the splashing at my feet, I look down, Nathan had followed me out.
Hi, kitty.
Yeah, Lumos has just decided to join us and he's like, doing laps in front of the webcam, showing his butt to Mel and Ryan. But that's awesome that she just jumped in the water and she was just following you in.
Yeah, just followed me in, and then it basically just went from there. She was even, we went back to the Gold Coast for Christmas that year. We went down to the beach on the Gold Coast there, which is a bit wavy, and we thought she'd just go for a walk. She didn't mind hopping in the waves, having a little jump in the waves and a play around there either. And then it's just progressed ever since, and she's become more and more comfortable.
That's so awesome. And for our overseas listeners, like, the Gold Coast is a bit of a touristy area. So I imagine there was a lot of people there. Was she a bit scared of the people there?
Not as a kitten. Not so much now, but they do prefer when it's much quieter, when it's just more us.
Yeah, I think the older Nate's gotten, being only 2 years old anyway, but she's a bit older. She does prefer not to have crowded beaches now. And she's a bit more weary of dogs, whereas back in the day when she was a little kitten, she didn't care. She was just out doing whatever she wanted to do.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I think as kittens they're a bit fearless as well. So
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting because you didn't have a cat before, you didn't really have preconceived notions of what a cat does. So it's kind of cool that it's kind of a cool experiment to see what Nathan does just if she's treated as a dog. So, and look what she's done. It's amazing.
Literally all just trial and error.
I think a lot of people find that. So then when Winnie came into your lives, did you expect her to start swimming as well?
No, not at all.
Completely different personalities.
Yeah, so we didn't think she would. We thought she'd rather, I don't even think she'd be good on a lead or a harness, let alone, because she was terrible indoors when we were practicing. And I was like, that wasn't the goal anyway for her. It was just to, so that, you know, her and Nathan could be together and it'll be good if we could take her out. But she didn't want to do that, then that was fine. But
we gave the benefit of the doubt and took her down to the beach, same beach as Nathan's favourite beach.
Oh, no, we took her down to Tugan first.
Oh, you too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To harness and lead train her. And that's it, was like she had always been on one. It was insane. Yeah. I've got footage of her just running along and Ryan had to run up with her and it was amazing.
So she would not walk in the house. So you had her on the lead in the house, she just collapsed.
Or even just the harness on her. Yeah. She would not move and she'd sulk. But as soon as you got her outside, it's like she forgot all about it and she walks perfectly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whereas Nathan was like more, as she just wasn't happy being on the harness.
Oh, harness was fine.
It was a leash.
Not having a bar of it.
Yeah. So Nathan is perfect without a lead, and Winnie's great on.
Yeah.
So that's how we walk.
Just giving you a bit of variety there.
Yeah.
So do you find that you have to keep Nathan off leash and keep Winnie on leash now?
Depends on where we are. Yes. If we're down at Elliot Heads where there's not much distraction, not much that can spook her, we keep Winnie off a lead. But if there's anything, like when there's people around or dogs or people running by us, she gets quite scared and she'll just run. So we do keep her on the lead in those areas. Yeah. But so Nathan's fine.
When we're bushwalking with them or walking on the beach on the Gold Coast where we live now, Winnie will be on a lead all the time just for safety. And Nathan is 100% perfect off a lead. And she comes called and does everything. And is, I might add, she's completely untrained. We've never actually had to train her. That's just her naturally. So we don't have her on a lead when we're at the beach. We don't have her on a lead when we're bushwalking. Yeah.
She doesn't attack wildlife. When she's scared, she'll either drop or run into us. So she's just a person, really.
Yeah.
I just love that. It's did you have to do any training to get her to get Nathan to know her name so that she would come to you? And like recall training or anything?
She kind of caught on really quickly. I remember saying it when she was a kitten. Yeah. Like after the first week, she started coming to when we called her name. And I remember us looking at each other the first time she did it. I was like, that was quick. She's learned her name already.
Yeah. Whenever there's nothing specific that we did. We didn't have to do any of that. We just, she just was so, she's so clever. She's so smart. She's very clever, but she just picked everything up so quickly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so awesome. And then does Winnie watch Nathan and then follow what she does?
She does do a lot that Nathan does.
Not with the swimming, though.
No.
So when Winnie, because we thought that if Winnie was ever going to swim, she would just sort of be copying Nathan. But the first time that Winnie actually swam, she'd never seen Nathan in the water. She followed me across a little bit of water and just swam and kept going.
She wasn't phased at all.
Yeah, and then there's actually a bit more to that video where she actually turned, got back in the water, swam back over, got Nathan, and then they came over. But she hadn't seen Nathan at that point. But every other aspect, pretty much,
she copies
Nathan.
Mm. Yeah, because I find that with our two, like if one of them does something, the other one has to copy. So a couple of days later, the other one will be doing it too. So, but that's really interesting. Like, we have this preconceived notion that cats can't swim, they don't like water, but you guys have just like, and it's not like you, like, I suppose with a baby, you try and teach them to do the doggy paddle and stuff. I assume it's the same with the dog, but you didn't even have to do that. So that's really. And we always
leave this to their choice to go in. Like some days they won't go.
Yeah,
some days, especially Nathan, she won't go in the water.
She'll sit on the side, she'll watch us, she'll watch Winnie. Winnie swims every time pretty much we go into the water. But Nath will have days where she's just not into it. It's just not, it's not her. So she'll just sit on the side and relax in the sun.
And that's understandable. Like they're like us. We have our days where we don't want to go in the water and we'd rather sit in the sun. So that's completely understandable. So Lumos and Oxy, our two cats, they love going to the beach. Like they don't go into the water, but they love going in the sand. They love playing in the sand. They love digging in the sand. But one thing we've really struggled with is finding the right beach to take them. So how do you find the right beach to take Nathan and Winnie? And is there anything in particular that you look for?
Well, that's what we struggled with as well, moving down to the city from Bundaberg or from Bagara, was finding a suitable beach. And unfortunately, we haven't found any.
We haven't found any in Queensland yet.
No.
So we still do make trips up to Elliott Heads because it's just perfect for them. Like it's open expanses of nice white sand and warm waters, and
you can get away. You can get away from everyone.
Yeah.
From the dogs, you've got you've got good vision, so you can see if anyone's coming with their dogs or whatever.
Yeah.
You've got a good amount of time to.
And it's not. And it, I guess it's calm water. It's not wavy. They prefer that as well.
Yeah.
So I guess on the Gold Coast, we do go down the beach pretty regularly. For walks mainly, but we've just got to be a little bit more careful because there are a lot of dogs and
we find we have to grab them and hold them quite often because people are walking around with their dogs off leads and we don't know how they react to cats, so we don't want to risk it.
Yeah,
I understand that. Is are those beaches off leash dog beaches, or are they?
They're not meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they tend to be. Yeah, that is a challenge that tends to happen. Have Nathan and Winnie met any dogs while you've been out on the beach?
Yeah. Oh, when we went hiking, Winnie was keen to meet one of the dogs. Was it a big Labrador?
Yeah, big Labrador who was
so friendly.
Came over to say hello. So Winnie's like leaning over. We passed her sort of just to have a look, and then she kissed it.
So. It was a silence hiss. I'm scared.
Oh, that's funny.
But she's keen to me even with your parents' dogs.
Yeah, my parents have two small, they both live on the Gold Coast near us, so we see them more regularly. And they have two small Tenterfield Terriers, like Fox Terrier type dogs. Nathan has no interest in them, wants nothing to do with them. But Winnie's curious. she'll pop out to say hello and then run away.
Yeah.
And how do the dogs react?
They're quite yappy dogs anyway, so they tend to bark at them.
They do. Yeah,
which is not a good thing. It's why, Nate's known them since she was a kid. So,
they weren't friends from the beginning.
That's understandable. Yeah, I'm always curious because some cats just love dogs. Other cats tolerate them and then others just, really hate them. So our two, not so great with dogs. But when you go exploring, you kind of need to have a plan of what you're going to do if a dog runs up to you. So do you guys just pick them up and then that's usually fine?
Yeah. Normally Nathan will just sort of see it and jump up on me.
Okay.
So she'll just jump anyway. And Winnie just gets scared and crouches down and thinks that no one can see her because she's flat. So we just have to pick her up.
So we're always watching. There's no kind of relaxing when we're out because we are always watching to see if there's any dogs around that are potentially going to run up to them.
Yeah.
Mm, that's understandable. But it's good. So, when you're looking for a beach that you take them, you look for those ones that have those space that you can see who's coming in.
Yeah.
And then usually a calm, quiet one as well. So.
Quiet. Something that's protected from the waves is always better for them. Yeah.
Recently we went down to the Great Ocean Road, which is at the bottom of Australia, and we actually found an inlet. So, not on the main beach, but the inlet was going into the creek or river or whatever. And we found that was a really good spot because it was really quiet and it wasn't the best in terms of trying to see people come, but the waves were quiet. So the kiddies could actually get quite close to the water. They didn't go in, but it felt a bit secluded as well.
No, that's perfect.
So there's
a couple of, in Northern New South Wales, that we've been to that are similar to that. But they're just a little bit more populated, unfortunately. They would kind of be perfect. I mean, we have taken Nathan down there and she had a good swim and everything, but we just had to still be a bit mindful because there were a lot of people.
Yeah, and seeing the people really does make them pancake down into the sand or in the water. Actually, have you had a situation where you've been in the water with the girls and, anyone's come past and have they, gotten scared of the people while they've been in the water?
No, the only time, whenever they do go in the water and somebody is coming past, the people are always pretty intrigued by it. I guess the only time that we've had somebody really stop was we had a policeman on one of the buggies on the sand on the Gold Coast come just flying past and then swung back around and came back over. We actually thought we were going to get a fine or something because Nathan was off the lead. but he was just like, is that a cat? He was more just intrigued about watching her play in the waves. So.
And she didn't get scared of the buggies.
She was, no, she was a kitten.
She was a kitten.
So she did.
Okay, yeah.
Haven't had anyone else because we do tend to get away from people when they're having to swim. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Because I was just wondering, like, they can't really pancake in the water. So no. I suppose they'd have to jump on you if they do get a bit scared or anything like that.
Well, actually, there was. Winnie did pancake in the water. She dunked her head.
Yeah, that's when she realized she couldn't do that.
So we were off in the Broadwater, which is a sort of just off from the Gold Coast, and it was nice, clear. We actually took them canoeing. We went up canoeing across onto a little sandbank island.
And that was perfect, actually.
It was really nice.
It was just us on this little sand island.
Yeah. Mm. So sort of nice, sheltered little area that we found, and the girls were both playing in the water, and then a boat came past. And poor little Winnie, she went to pancake and dunked her head. Didn't realise she can't breathe underwater. So we had to pull her out.
She learnt after that.
Oh, poor little girl. And actually, that's just reminded me of something. So I know that you guys rinse the kitties after you take them swimming because salt water, you don't really want them ingesting the salt water. What kind of process do you do after they've been to the beach? Is there anything that you take them through? Or?
So... They get a shower every time, so we take them in our shower. Nathan's 100% fine, so I'll often just hold her, or Mel will just hold her, and we'll just have the water sort of drip down and wash off as much salt as we can. They both get bath. We use like an oatmeal type shampoo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They bring home a lot of well. Sand.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Nathan. She's so fluffy. She's full of it. So, yeah, but they get bath every time, and then, I guess.
A good proper wash.
Yeah.
And we've had no issues. Like, people always ask, you get issues with their fur or with their skin? And
never.
No.
Yeah, never had a.
So it's not like we're going swimming, you know, every day or once a week, you know. So they're not getting wet and all having showers as often as what it looks like on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yep, I understand. I know that you guys go away with them. How do you wash them when you're away? Because I'm imagining, because at home we actually use our bathtub and that's how we wash our kitties. But every time we've gone away to a beach place, we don't have a bathtub in the Airbnb or the hotel room that we're staying at. So how do you manage that then?
So we always shower them, and we just shower them wherever we are.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. It gets a bit harder when you don't have one of those retractable shower heads.
Yeah.
We'll pop them on the ground and just rinse them that way. Or with Nathan, like, we can hold her. But, yeah, with Winnie it's a bit harder. But, yeah, we just shower them because that's what we do at home.
Okay, yeah. It's good that you've trained them. They've gotten used to that shower thing. Because we started with the bucket and probably should have tried the shower a bit earlier on.
It hasn't been a while we decided to shower.
I don't know either, actually. We have tried them in the bath not long ago, actually, like maybe only a few weeks ago. And they were fine with that as well, but we find that it's just quicker in the shower.
Yes. Yeah. Every time the bathtub, when we have to wash them in the bathtub, oh my goodness, that takes forever. And they like jump out too, so then the whole bathroom's wet.
It's less
good. It is.
Yeah. So I know that Nathan and Winnie have recently started picking up hiking. How did you train them to hike with you?
We actually did it. Because we're on the Gold Coast now, And they don't like the beaches as much as what they do up north. We wanted to sort of still get them out and about and try some other things. Mm-hmm. And so hikes were sort of the next easy thing for us. There's some good hikes around our area.
Well, we noticed when we're at the beach, they kind of like to head towards where the trees were or the shrubs and stuff like that. So that was our next plan. Like, oh, maybe they would enjoy hiking and being in amongst around trees and bushes and stuff like that. And they do. They love it.
Especially Winnie.
Winnie loves it. So, she's in her own little element. She just cruises along. She's always leading.
Yeah. We just basically headed down there. We didn't really know what to expect. And we were worried about Nathan as well at that point because she was good at the beach, but we didn't know whether she was going to run off in trees or
something. And this is a
like
recent
that.
Thing. Mind you, only a few months we've been doing this.
Yeah. And But we had the same issue. So Nath tends to follow me and Winnie loves Mel. So Winnie and Mel will go walking ahead and Winnie's running off and on the lead and leading the way. And Nathan takes her time, takes in every single smell and sort of wants to do her own thing. So it sort of got to the point where I was so far behind that I had to keep picking Nath up and catching up. So then I just went, you know what, I'm going to take her off the lead and see what she does. She surprises us with every other thing. Let's just see what she does. So I took her off and started walking off on her and then she ran and kept up.
So it's the same as the beach, same process.
Yeah.
You've really got me thinking there. So Daniel, my husband, walks with Lumos, who plods along so slowly, whereas Noxie and I are sprinting down the trail. So maybe that's what we need to try. Yeah, that's really interesting. And it's really, like, another thing that's really interesting is because a lot of cats do go hiking. So I always ask everyone, how did you train your cat? Because our personal experience is that we just went on a hiking trail and they were a bit unsure at first, but then they just started hiking. They just started walking down the trail. I don't really know what it is. Like, how do you teach a cat to go on a hiking trail? Because ours just did it. And it sounds like Nathan and Winnie were the same.
Yeah, it's just a trial
bit
and it worked.
Yeah, exactly. So is there any other type of cat exploring or adventuring that you've wanted to try with the girls and they haven't really enjoyed it?
I don't know. Nothing that pops up to mind. Nathan's the most adaptive little cat that we've ever encountered. Winnie's good as well, but she's a little bit more sort of standoffish from situations for the sort of initial part, but Nathan pretty well adapts to anything and everything.
We'd like to take them to Ryan's nephew's soccer games, and Nathan's okay, but Winnie, as she's gotten older, she's gotten more and more weary of people, so I think she doesn't enjoy that as much.
Yeah, and of course they get plenty of attention down there because people are not used to seeing cats and all the little kids will come up and, you know, want to pat them and so forth. Get plenty of attention, which they're actually not too bad with. Especially Nathan. Nathan's so good around people.
Attention. It's just she gets really
That's true. Other than that, nothing else really comes to mind that we've had too much problems with. I mean, there's things that we want to do. We'd love to sort of take them overseas and do some travel, like overseas with them and things like that.
So hard.
We're just really sceptical because we don't want to put them underneath. We just want to take them
under the cargo. Yeah.
That worries me.
So we're hoping that it'll change at some point, like it has in, you know, Europe, for example, and we'll be able to take them on the actual plane with us. But yeah, that's one thing that we really want to do. We want to take them around a little bit.
Our goal for the future is to move overseas for a little bit, and there's no way we're leaving them behind. So we'll have to figure something out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a hard one, and because in Australia you can't go on a flight with your pet in the cabin, unlike like in the US or whatnot. But I'm not sure whether you guys are aware, there's like Jet Pets Travel. They're like a great Australian-based company that helps you travel with your cats if that's something that you need in the future. But you would still have to put them in cargo, I imagine.
Quiet about that.
There's also the quarantine requirements. Australia is particularly strict from that side of things. But I think we've got a few cat explorers who've actually travelled to Australia from, for example, from Europe, and they're now currently vanning around Australia. So that it's something that's possible. And they've gone through the quarantine. So it is something that's definitely possible.
Yeah.
What other types of cat exploring would you like to do with them? Is there anything else that's on the wish list?
Oh,
there's so many nice beaches in Australia. I would love to just travel around, especially more up north.
Yeah, and also Western Australia as well.
Western Australia, beautiful areas that I think they'd enjoy.
Yeah. We'd
enjoy.
We do enjoy, you know, like kayaking and surf skiing and stuff like that with them as well. That's one other thing that we like to do. We don't do it anywhere near as often as what we'd like. But that's sort of fine with that. They quite enjoy it. So that's the other thing that we would like a little bit more of. Yeah, we've got so much nice water around us.
Yeah, so you guys live in Queensland, which is like, because I've looked at all the different states and their laws and their cat friendly locations, and Queensland is by far the most cat friendly state in Australia. Nathan's just come and said hi on the webcam. That was really cute. Yeah. Something that I really love seeing is the bond that Nathan and Winnie share. Do you mind sharing a little bit about how they interact with each other?
They're so funny. They're really entertaining. It's a bit of a love-hate.
So Winnie absolutely loves Nathan, like absolutely adores her and wants to be with her every single minute of the day. Nathan fluctuates. So she's great. She'll be grooming Winnie. And then within a split second, for no good reason, they'll be fighting, like play fighting.
Yeah,
and then they'll be running away from each other, and Nathan will want nothing to do with Winnie. And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, they're back together. Grooming. And they're lying on the same couch or whatever. And
yeah,
it's a funny little temperamental relationship that they have.
But yeah, Winnie won't let her alone.
She's like the big sister. The little sister wants to follow the big sister around. That's really cute. And I read on your blog that you were really careful with how you were planning to introduce them anyway. Is that because I really liked reading that, because I think I've seen so many people who just adopt a new cat and then they suddenly just put them together. And there is a process that you follow. And I know that you did so much research and you plan to follow the steps, but then the kitties decided that they weren't going to follow those steps. Do you mind sharing what you plan to do, and then how their introduction actually went?
Yeah. So I did a lot of research beforehand, and I found that introducing another cat could change your resident cat's personality. Some of the time permanently. So we were quite worried about that. We had this special little cat, Nathan, with the greatest personality that we didn't want her to change in any way at all. And even when we went to the RSPCA, we were warned about that as well, about getting another cat. So they kind of tried to deter us away from getting a second cat. But obviously we ended up getting Winnie. Yeah. And the plan was, just from my research, was a separation period for a while. So we trialed that for one night, essentially, and then Winnie decided to do her own thing.
Well,
so
initially we actually had like a 6-hour drive home. We picked Winnie up in Bundaberg just before we left, and so she was in a box with some holes in it, and we decided to leave her in the box for the drive, and we'll just hold her and keep her separate from Nate for that time, but they can smell each other through the little holes and things like that. And so they were pretty separate, but Nathan had already started getting a bit upset.
Yeah, she didn't leave my lap whole drive home.
She was really cuddly.
She was off.
And so when we got home, we then decided that we would keep them separate. So we actually put Winnie in the bathroom with the door
open so they could see each other.
And then there was a little bit of hissing that went on from Nathan initially when she sort of went for a little sniff. We fed them their bowls side by side. So Winnie in the bathroom and Nathan outside. So they would see each other while they're eating.
So that's what I read as well, that you had to do.
And then we decided that we couldn't obviously leave Winnie in the bathroom, so we were going to open it up, and we had like a little baby gate, and we put that around and just blocked the whole little bit of the hallway in so that Winnie had some room to come out and, move around a little bit.
They could probably see each other.
And they could,
confined. Yeah.
See each other through the gate. And then Winnie just had other ideas. So that didn't work for Winnie. And so she just climbed up it, jumped over it. And just ran straight past Nathan, with Nathan running after her, and just ran straight in the house like she owned the place, started playing with Nathan's toys. Yeah. Initially, I sort of ran after Nate to try to stop her. I thought she was going to attack her.
Because Nate just ran straight after her as well.
And then Nathan just stopped like a meter and a half away and just stared at her. And they were just looking at each other. And I just sort of stepped back and was like, I'm just going to see what they do here. Because Winnie's all over the place. She didn't care. Couldn't care less.
No.
Just picking up Nathan's toys and running around.
You
could
see Nathan all wide-eyed looking at her like, actually touching my toys.
went and used Nathan's kitty litter.
Oh, yeah, I thought that would have
popped her head back out and just running around. I was just thinking, what is going on? And so, but Nate never attacked her, never got angry, and they were actually better when there was no cage or anything in the way.
There was no hissing, so
there was nothing, no aggression whatsoever. And Nate sort of stuck clear of her a little bit for the first night. But other than that, then they were best friends soon after. I don't think Nape had a chance, though, really, when he was straight onto her.
Yeah. When he was like, you will be my friend no matter what you want.
But, yeah, it just got thrown out. Everything that we had planned just got thrown out by Winnie.
Yeah.
That's so adorable. I just love that she had such a strong personality and just wanted to make herself at home and be friends with everyone, so that's really nice. Did Nathan ever, like, was she hesitant at first, or did she just eventually calm down and she was
probably for a couple of days she was a little bit off. Didn't like to associate with Winnie too much, but also didn't want to let her out of her sight. So she would walk around, just follow Winnie around a few metres behind and just keep an eye on her. And then that went to over a couple of days to them just...
Then they were sleeping together.
And, yeah. So it actually spread really quickly.
Yeah. And well, then I'd read that it had taken quite a few weeks for some cats to be introduced. So the fact that they were introduced after a night.
Yeah. It was a big relief because there were actually some tears from Mel while we were driving home. She was saying to me, what if it changes Nathan's personality? What are we going to do? What if they don't get along? And she's crying in the car as we're driving home. So it was the biggest relief.
It was an emotional roller coaster
for me as well.
No, I can completely understand that. Because you've fallen in love with this new cat as well, and you've got Nathan, and you just want everyone to get along, but there's always a possibility that things won't happen. So it's really lucky that everything worked out so well. So I'm really glad for you guys there. And something that I think a lot of people might not know is that you both have pretty demanding jobs, and then on top of that you've got huge social media accounts and they've got a big following, and I imagine that takes up a lot of time. How do you manage juggling all that, your personal lives, your work lives, as well as taking Nathan and Winnie cat exploring?
It doesn't always work.
No. So I think one of the biggest issues is that, yeah, we both work long hours and have demanding jobs, but our time off very rarely coincides. Mm-hmm. So it's always quite a lot of planning that we have to do for trips away and things like that, and trying to shuffle rosters, and it can be quite difficult. But we always kind of prioritise taking the girls out at least a couple of times a week, and it might not be to the beach. It might just be down to the park for a run around, which we do a couple of times a week. In terms of... how we sort of get by with social media and all that sort of thing.
Teamwork.
It's Mel.
I have to, like, commend you guys. You do an amazing job with that, especially to be able to take the girls out, like, a couple of times a week. I won't lie. Like, I struggle. Some Lumos and Noxy are very mad at me because I've only taken them out once this week. So, like, I think that's amazing that you guys do it quite well. Do you go out with one person with the two girls, or do you always need two people?
Too hard.
It's too hard with Winnie.
Yeah. Winnie is a handful.
Winnie is a handful. So we tend to only really go. When we were up in Bundaberg, Mel would often take them out while I was working. I'll take Nathan out while I was working by herself with no issues. But I don't know, with Winnie can be a little bit temperamental and skittish sometimes if she gets scared. So I think it's just easier if we have two people and someone can be designated Winnie and Nathan can do her thing.
You know, it's really funny. Like, I really relate because Noxy is very skittish as well. So I am always designated with her, and Lumos is very calm. So Daniel is, my husband, is designated with him. And yeah, It's quite interesting because I've also found that I once took them out by myself with two backpacks, and I'm never doing it again because I found that Noxie ended up sitting on my head and Lumos was, like, trying to run somewhere else, and I was just, like, being split in opposite directions, and it was a bit of a disaster. But I always, like, respect all those people who can take both their cats out at once. That it's a skill.
It's like walking two toddlers.
Yeah.
When one's really pain.
That's so true. So we're coming up towards the end of our podcast, and we've got four questions that we ask all our guests. So what's one piece of advice that you would give to new cat explorers?
Not to force them. So let them decide what they want to do and what they're comfortable doing. Don't try and force them into it.
Yes, definitely. What's been the most entertaining comment someone has said to you while you've been out and about with Nathan and Winnie?
I think that policeman.
That policeman was fun.
He was so shocked and stunned.
but we were shocked as well because we thought we were going to get a fine. And then he comes around and it was just like, oh, my God, is that a cat? That's pretty much all.
It's also nice that so many people recognise Nathan and Winnie. So quite often when we are at the beach or, you know, out and about, people will just come up to us and be like, is that Nathan? Is that Winnie? So it's just it's just
the first time was in Bagara. It was in Elliot Heads. Yeah. And there was this old couple. Is that Nathan?
Oh, that's really nice. Do they always want a cuddle or a pat or are they happy to watch?
Little pat.
Yeah.
Generally, no one's really. Oh, there's a few people that
people want to, like kids would want to.
Like when we're getting some food from one of like a takeaway place in Bagara, the guy there wanted a photo with Nate and stuff like that. Yeah. So, but most of the time, little kids will want a photo or sometimes.
I think most adults are weary of cats anyway.
Yeah.
So they'll just admire from afar.
Yeah. Little cat.
My question was going to be, how does Nathan manage that, and how do you manage that if Nathan's in a bad mood?
We would say. We just warn them she might snap.
So we can pick pretty clearly with Nathan. Nathan's really expressive.
Yes.
And we can pick her immediately when she's not going to be good. She gets puffy cheeks and she just sort of puffs her cheeks out. And
he gets that look.
That and look. Like, and so we'll quite often say, oh, just be careful. Yeah.
Okay,
there's a way to approach Nathan.
Yeah.
She likes to smell you first and then you kind of swipe across her face. Don't go over her head.
If you come in too quick, then she'll have a little go at you. But it's funny though. She never bites. It's like a tiny little bite. It's like it's never like no one's ever been hurt or no one's got scratched or cut or anything like that from her. She's only very, very delicate. So she gives a little warning bite and people just pull away and they're like, oh, okay, sorry. and then you know that Nate's not into it.
that's good that she's so controlled, because we've had a few people in our community have a lot of people come up to them and want to pat their cat when their cat's a bit uncomfortable. So I'm always interested to hear how people manage that, because it's a bit of a we need to communicate to the people that our cat's in a bad mood or something like that. So not everyone can read other cats, or every cat is different. So
exactly.
So which cat explorers inspire you?
Well, for me, when I first started, Van Cat Meow was the one that popped up for me. I just really admire, like, I don't know, his life choices and how he just travels around Australia.
Complete opposite lives to us.
Complete opposite lives to us that I wish we had. So that was always inspiring.
Yeah, I agree. We spoke to Rich in season 3 of our podcast, and after we got off the call, I turned to Daniel. I was like, maybe we can go buy a van now.
Keep trying to convince him, but
we did realize we're a bit princessy. We kind of need a shower. That's where our sticking point is. I relate there. What product, service, or program has been a game changer for Nathan and Winnie?
We're quite minimal.
Pretty simple, aren't we?
Very simple. I think the biggest thing, especially with Nathan, because she was was what we trialed everything on with her, was our harnesses and the type of harness that we use. We found the one that we quite like and that she likes, and minimal is best. So we use the Rogs harness, and it's just very thin, very lightweight. We've tried other chunkier harnesses.
Tried the vests and things as well. And
She did not like them. No. So we just went straight ahead with the Rogs harness, Winnie, and that seemed to work. And it doesn't weigh them down when they're swimming, because it's quite lightweight and it's very minimal. So
other than that, we haven't really.
No, otherwise, yeah.
It's so simple. We're just very simple.
Yeah.
Good to be simple. It's good to be minimalistic. And those harnesses, they are quite thin as well. Like some harnesses are actually quite thick there. I like how thin the Rogues ones are. We've got a couple of those too. Yes. Yeah. And they'd be really good for water sports.
Yes.
Yeah. So Melissa and Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a blast. Where can we find you, Nathan and Winnie, online?
You can find us at Nathan_thebeachcat on Instagram. We've got our website, www.nathanthebeachcat.com.au. You can find us on Facebook as well. And we've started YouTube, which is not that active at the moment, but it will be.
Is that Nathan the Beach Cat on YouTube as well?
Yeah.
Gradually putting our videos up.
Yeah.
What I'll do is I'll put all those links and any other links from today's episode in the show notes, which will be available at catexplorer.co/podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. Have you checked out the Cat Explorer store lately? We use the store to fund this podcast and all the other free things we create for you, so I would really appreciate it if you could check it out. We have hoodies, mugs, hats, t-shirts, stickers, patches, cat backpacks, and so much more. You can see this all at catexplorer.co/shop. Thank you so much for being a part of the Cat Explorer community. That's it for today, and we'll catch you next time. In the meantime, enjoy giving your kitty the world.